like the Beatles, don't you? Let me go. Nobody ever loved me like she did. This is a program for you. Talking about colon cancer. Got a good story for you guys. And this, you are for this program. You're 40 years and older, you got a family history of heart, of a colon cancer, or you're over 50. This is for you, man and woman, even children. Because a lot of times we got this stuff and we only find out from our family members. So guys, we'll go back to the top, the Beatles, all the way through. And I'll tell you about the fifth member of the Beatles today. So you stay tuned. We go back to the top. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Nobody ever loved me like she did. And if somebody loved me like she does, yes, she does, yes, she does.
First time, don't you know it's gonna last? It's a love that lasts forever. It's a love that has no past. Don't let me down. She really done me. Ooh, she done me. She done me good. I guess nobody ever really done me. Ooh, she done me. She done me good.
I saw the video on that song, actually, you know. This Paul McCartney, he was like one of the flashy ones, you know. It's a good video, actually. But John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr, those were the four members of the Beatles, 1960s, man. One of the biggest rock bands ever. Truly, these guys were good, real, real good. We're going to be playing and featuring them, actually, today. But I got Graham in my studio, and I really would like to introduce Graham to you because Graham got a story to tell. Good morning, Graham.
Hi, good morning, everyone. How are you doing?
So, you know, it's nice to have you. And guys, we talk about colon cancer. And as a matter of fact, it's one of the cancers that is curable. You listen to me now. Curable. A lot of cancers, we got them. Nobody like to hear about a big C. I got patients coming to me with coronary artery disease. And they're saying, I don't know what to do, or some type of cardiomyopathy where the heart is extremely weak. And I said, man, listen, it's one thing I look when I'm facing life. I always say, you compare your neighbors. Your neighbor got a bigger problem than you. At least you got a heart. You got a coronary artery disease, and you could fix that stuff, and you go on with your life, or you got a cardiomyopathy where your heart is weak. The guy can put in some type of CRT device or some type of pacemaker and help the augmentation of your heart and make you better. But sometimes you got a big C, and it's end stage. This program today is about getting people aware of colon cancer, the number three cause of death in the world today, or the number three cause of cancer coming for males is after cardiovascular disease. Number one cause of death, then prostate, and then colon. Happens in universally also. So it's a serious thing. But one of the integral things that I want you guys to understand is that if it's caught early, you beat it. You can really cure this thing. I'm not talking about remission. I'm talking about cure. And we have Graham Bannister here with us today. And Graham is so motivated to share his story with you about colon cancer. Let me tell you a couple of things about colon cancer before we go on and we bring Graham in. Colon cancer, it's a cancer formed within the colon. You know, you have the gastrointestinal tract coming from your mouth, esophagus, stomach, duodenum, small intestines, then large intestines. And the large intestines is what you call a colon. Then from the colon go to the sigmoid, the rectum, and then the anus. That's a whole follow through. Eat your food, and then, you know, in the colon actually is a part where most of the water and salt has been reabsorbed, and then everything that leaves there is all waste. So what happens with colon cancer? It starts as a polyp most times. Adenoma, they would call it. And then if it's not taken out, it'll grow into the wall. And if you don't do anything about it, remember, you could be very much asymptomatic, you know. If you don't do anything about it, it can go through the wall. And if you don't do anything about it, it'll go to the lymph nodes around it. And then if you don't do anything about it, it goes to the liver, the bone, the brain, the lung, metastases. Our duty today, this program, is to make you aware of this entity, colon cancer, and how you can prevent it from happening. Now, Graham Bannister. Graham is 56 years old, and I'm really happy because a lot of us, we get all type of illnesses, and we just go get the doctor, get it sorted out, and we just go in our closet and continue. Oh, we're embarrassed. We don't want people to know about this stuff. But you know, your story can resonate with someone else out there and save people. This life is not about you. This life is about us. We helping each other. God first, family, and country. In that order. Graham, tell me something. When did you first realize? First of all, you got any family history of cancer?
Well, yes. My dad had prostate cancer back in the late 90s, and he passed away in 2006. Then it spread to his bones.
Oh.
But other than that, I didn't have anything in my family
history. No signal at all?
No, no signals, no good indications. And I was living my life normal back in the days, eating what I wanted to eat, red meats and fatty foods and sugary drinks and so on.
So in other words, you thought that you could eat anything you want?
Exactly. I mean, you feel you'll live forever. But in 2018, I had a wake-up call. In January, I had a slight pain on the right side, And I describe it similar to one that you get when you do too much exercising.
Okay. You used to do a lot of working out?
Not really, no.
Okay. And, but what you thought that you were exercising?
Well, no, I actually thought it might have been my appendix. So I said to my wife, when we pick up our daughter this evening from her extracurricular classes, I'm going to go to FMH in case it's appendicitis, and okay. I don't want that to burst at 4 in the morning.
Gotcha.
But when I went and picked her up at 8, the pain had gone. Mm-hmm. So I said to my wife and children, well, there's no pain, so I'm going home. Like most Bajan men, you know, we figure no need to go to the doctor.
Gotcha.
But my daughter, who was 18 at the time, she insisted and said, no, Dad, you have to go to the doctor. And I turned the car around.
What do you think she was thinking?
Well, it shows that she loves me, right? And she's always very concerned about our health and stuff. And she knows I don't usually go to a doctor.
But let me ask you, stop him. Just trying to, bear with me. Wasn't excruciating pain, was it?
No, it was a very dull pain that came and went. And it was just like somebody pinching you, you know, but it was nothing serious.
But you're different because most times we men get those type of pain. We don't tell anybody about that. You seem to have a strong, close family. Yes, so you discuss this stuff with your family. Like
yes,
that.
I do, actually. My wife and children, we're very close. Mm. And we talk about things like this. And I know how they feel about me.
Okay.
And I listen to them when they start to push me in the direction I should go. Because happy wife, happy life, and keep the children happy,
like that.
And so on.
I like that, yeah.
And they were looking out for me. So I said, okay, we'll go.
Right.
And when I went to FMH, they poked and they prodded. And I have to say, it was Dr. Frank Bishop, a fantastic guy.
Yeah, know him. Real nice guy.
Greatest respect for him.
Exactly. Bedside manners, superb.
Correct. And he poked and prodded and said, well, there's nothing here. I can't find if it's not your appendix, it's not liver, it's not kidney. Go and do an ultrasound. So he gave me a document to take to the ultrasound, and I went the following day, and they showed a slight mass on the left side, totally unrelated to anything that was happening on the right.
So nothing on the right?
Nothing on the right. So I take that as God's way of telling me, go and get yourself checked. So the pain on the right was nothing to do with anything. Mm. So I got saw the dark mass, and I went back to Frank, and he said, well, we're going to schedule you now. You've got to do a CT scan because something is there. We don't know what it is.
Okay.
I did the CT scan, and that showed up that there was a definite mass on the left side, and about a number of my lymph nodes were also inflamed, which they said happens whenever your body is fighting an infection.
Oh, basically. Did they mention if it's enlarged or just inflamed?
They just said they're inflamed.
Okay, gotcha, okay.
So I went back to Frank with those results, and he sat me down. He said, listen, Graham, don't get too frantic. Cancer is not a death sentence these days. And in the colon, it's something that we can manage. So let's deal with this now, and we'll send you for a colonoscopy.
Okay.
So then I scheduled a colonoscopy at the Connell Clinics with Dr. Kwame Connell, another fantastic gentleman.
Again, no,
greatest respect and so on, and the best attitude you could want.
Good.
And he talked me through the whole process, and I went and I got the powder that you have to mix with water to cleanse your intestines before.
Prepare the bowel.
Correct. I did the procedure, and following that, he took a sample. And he then, when he got the results back, I went to see him, and he said, well, Graham, yes, there's definitely cancer in the colon. So we're going to have to schedule you for surgery.
Okay.
And scheduled surgery for March. I went in on the 6th of March. I remember that like it was yesterday. And
were you scared?
I was apprehensive, for sure, yes. And the journey towards the surgery, because the diagnosis was like in February.
Okay.
It was an up and down. You know, gotcha. When I was by myself or driving, I would start to cry my eyes out. And it was more, not so much me being a chance of dying, but it was more what would happen to my family. And I kept thinking of them, you know, who would be with my wife, who would be with my children, who would look after them, who would be there for them.
How many kids you have?
Two.
Okay.
My daughter, she was 18 then, and my son, he was 14 at the time.
He's now 15. In high school, so you're worried.
Yeah, and she was studying for her CAPE exams at the time. So it was a lot of stress on them. And when someone has cancer in your family, the whole close-knit family suffers the same cancer.
Did you have sleepless nights?
Oh, yes, I had many sleepless nights. I'd be lying down in the bed next to my wife, and she would be sleeping, and I would try to go to sleep, and I would wake up, and then I would just, your brain starts to play tricks on you. But then along the line, I said, you know, this has to stop. You have to be more positive. So again, you start to pray, and you turn to God. And I would pray every day and every night, you know, help me get through this, be strong for my family,
I want to go back a little bit.
Sure.
You got a very God-knit family, you guys.
We don't go to church too often, but we do believe in God. As a matter of fact, we're now, for this period of December, we're reading a different chapter of Luke every evening, the 24 chapters. And our plan is from January 1st, every evening, we would start from Genesis chapter 1, and we'll work our way through the entire.
So you were given this diagnosis, and you say, you know what? I cannot do anything at this point. Maybe in the future, I can try to modify my lifestyle and all those things. But I'm right now in a mountain, and I need a higher power to help me. So you decided at this point, I'm going to reach out to this power. And that's what you did.
Correct, yes. That's what I did. And I went and I met with Dr. Trevor Shepherd, who was going to be my surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I love this man like if he was my family. He sat down with me and he said, okay, Graham, the cancer is in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
When he said that, I started to laugh, right? Because I said, well, how could cancer be in a good spot? I mean, but what he explained was the location of it. It was not lower down into the rectum area. Mm-hmm. So it was not the rectal cancer. It
gotcha.
Was high enough up in this sigmoid colon that made it easily accessible for removal.
And also the ones down next to the rectum, they normally have a poorer prognosis. Go ahead.
Correct. So he said, okay, well, we're going to do the surgery. And I went into Bayview Hospital where there are fantastic nurses and the help there, and everybody was great. My wife was able to stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helped a lot, having her there.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me that extra support. The worst day, I would say, was when I left my two children by my mother and seeing them behind her gate when I was driving off in the taxi to go to the hospital. It was the look on their face was like, I'm never going to see dad again.
Did you cry?
Inside.
Okay.
Because I didn't want them to see I was getting concerned. I didn't want my wife to start to worry again.
Okay.
But inside, yes. And when I got to the hospital, I checked in on the Sunday and spent the Monday taking liquids and the usual cleanse and so on.
Mm.
And then the gurney came for me the Tuesday. I said, oh, well, my limousine is here. I must stop there.
Guys, call your families. Call your friends. I could see even just saying this to you, Mr. Bannister, is becoming emotional. Because this is something he wants you to understand, that really the story ends well, because we want you to have a good story too. Don't wait until this thing gets too late. And you see how important family matters? Something. The Beatles, guys. Remember I told you guys there's a fifth guy. You heard about Billy Preston, didn't you? Billy Preston was the fifth member of the Beatles, baby. But he used to be, it was the 1960s, so he had to be down below, playing the keyboard. Yeah, I dig down and found that out, man. That's something. The Beatles, boy, one of the biggest bands out there. I'll tell you a little bit of how they broke up. But we're talking about colon cancer today. In the studio, Graham Bannister and the Doc himself. Something. Right back.
But I don't need no other lover. Something in her style that shows me. Don't want to leave her now. I don't know, I don't know.
Something the Beatles, yeah, big band in the 1960s. John Lennon, man, it's very sad how he died, you know. John Lennon, man, that is why you see, you wonder why all these guys, when they become famous, why they have bodyguards and stuff. There's a reason for that, because you've got some crazy fans out there. People just want to just be famous. So guys would look at you and your success and say, you know what, I'm nobody. Nobody calls my name. Nobody thinks of me. If I shoot this guy, or I stab this guy, or I kill this guy, then I become something. It's amazing how this world is, huh? Ah, man, a beautiful man like that, good culture, man, doing good, and somebody would just walk one, two, three, four, five steps, make a right turn and shoot. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, guys, the Beatles, forever they live on, huh? But don't forget, Billy Preston, he was there. The man with the keyboards. Now, listen, colon cancer. I said number three cause of death in the world, and number three cancer in the world today. And some cultures more, especially we here in the Caribbean, where we eat a lot of Western diet, all the fatty foods and so forth, it may be more, a higher incidence of colon cancer. So, if you smoke, if you eat red meat, if you don't exercise, if you drink a lot of alcohol, if you're obese and have weight problem, all these, and if you got a family history of colon cancer or any GI cancer, whether it's colorectal, whether it's sigmoid, whether it's anal cancer, you're at risk for colon cancer. And if you got more of these risk factors, you should start getting screened at age 40. What's the screening? Yes, the doctor can do a rectal exam. And you guys, myself and Graham are talking about, we people in this Caribbean, we don't like doctors taking their fingers and checking things out. How are you going to find out? You need to have that, and a colonoscopy should be done at age 50 for people who are not high risk, and age 40 for people who got a lot of risk factors that I mentioned before. So if you got, if you worried about colon cancer, don't forget I said it's treatable. Go in there, you can clip that bad boy out, take it out, and that's the end of the story. If you get it into the wall, and then after the wall it goes in the outside, it might be too late. They got some prognosis out there. Matter of fact, you can 99% is the prognosis in 5 years if you catch it early, before it gets into the wall and out of the wall. 99% as opposed to 17% live in 5 years if it goes to the liver and all those things. So it makes sense to get it early. I'll let Graham continue. Now, he had the surgery. Tell me about it.
Okay, so I had the surgery on March the 6th. I won't go into all of the details of it and so on, but I was out of hospital in about 4 days. And the doctor, Dr. Shepherd, said to me, well, we did the colon resection. We took it out. The cancer had not spread outside of the actual colon. It didn't go into the muscle walls or so on. It was a small size. And he took out 16 lymph nodes, and all of those showed clear. Mm-hmm. So I was one of the very fortunate ones. I would say that was like a stage one cancer. Good. And therefore, I didn't have to do chemo. I didn't have to do radiation. It was then a matter of diet and exercise from there on, eating high-fiber foods, uh-huh. Low-fat, multigrains, so on. And right. I've cut out sweet drinks wherever possible. I've cut out as much sugar as I can. And I eat fish and chicken and vegetables now. When I exercise, I walk, and I do a little exercising at home. And so far, my life is great.
So you did something. You know who Amy Winehouse is?
Yes.
Yeah, she says you did a 180.
I did a 180.
It's all about diet. Listen, guys, most of the illnesses, you may even have the gene, you know. You may even have the gene for a disease, a cancer, or whatever it is. But if you modify your diet, stay close to the plant, as Graham just said, eat a lot of plant product, a lot of fiber, stay away from red meat, don't smoke, Stop drinking a lot of alcohol. You know, if you got to drink a little bit, one drink a day is, according to the American Heart Association, is good enough for you. But also, very importantly, check out your doctor. You age 50, please go get a colonoscopy. And every 10 years, it's recommended to have it after that, at least up to age 75, okay? And if you got a family history or you have a lot of risk factors, you should get it at least at age 40. So I want to thank you all for listening, guys. And I want listen. You plan to get involved in a movement, Graham?
Yes, actually, I am a member now of the Cancer Support Services, and we are doing a lot. We look after Ward C12 at the QEH. My intention is I've had talks with the personal aide for the Minister of Health, and I've also spoken to the personal aide for the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Letting them know of my passion and how I feel about this. And my life is an open book. I intend to talk about my story. I intend to push for Barbados to have a reduction in colon cancer, for everybody to do what they can to get rid of this one non-communicable disease that is preventable, beatable, and curable. I will do whatever it has to. Stay away from negativity. Be positive. Listen to your family. Love your family. Just do what your heart tells you you need to do. That's what it is. Forget about the masculinity about getting tested and screening. Do the colonoscopy. Colon cancer takes 10 years to grow in your body. So if you get one done now, you have 5-10 years before you need to do another one. Chances are you will survive anything called colon cancer.
Man, Graham, it's touching, really touching. And you show important family. Family is very important because sometimes you're too close to the illness. You can't see it. And your daughter, big up to your daughter, your children. Up to wifey out there. Thank you very much. And listen, guys, stay close. Stay close to the family because sometimes you don't see it. The family sees it. We love you and we care for you, as always. And I thank you, Graham, for coming in and sharing your story. And we know that a lot of people are going to resonate with this and they go out and get screening. Or your take-home message before we go off with the Beatles, don't let me down.
Just get screened and look after your life. And I love my family, my son, my daughter, my wife.
Here you go, guys. Hey, until it's a dark, heavy Saturday, you tune in. The dark is right here. May God bless you. May God be with you. And may you have a nice day.
First time that she really done me. Ooh, she done me. She done me good. I guess nobody ever really done me. Ooh, she done me. She done me good.